I would like to call the meeting to order. Can I get roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken. I'll let the record reflect that all members are present.
Awesome, awesome. Public comments. This is the time when, if there is anybody on the line that would like to make a comment about anything that's not on the agenda, this is your time to speak up and maybe introduce yourself and tell us what you want to talk about. Is there anybody on the line that has anything they want to talk about other than agenda items? Very good. Public comment is closed. Moving on to the minutes. It's time to review the minutes and approve.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
And I will second that motion. All those in favor? Aye. And the motion carries. Presentations. Water, wastewater update. Man, I'm in rush mode from the last
meeting. No update today.
Wow. I could take a breath. Okay. Oh, boy. But it gets fun right about this point. Okay, so who wants to talk to us about the first discussion item, which is the Plant 2 rotor that fell off its bearings? Who's going to address that situation? Anthony!
Anthony will be talking about that. You have pictures, so please.
So are these going to be, did we combine both of those items into one item, into one discussion item?
We're going to discuss about the two.
Okay.
So there are pictures of the off-stitch and rotor shaft, and then there's a picture of the digest pod.
Yeah, we already saw that. That's a hand seen.
Yeah,
go ahead. Just take your mask down. Thank you.
Good evening, committee. Discussion item on wastewater plant Oxidage 3, rotor 2. About two weeks ago, in doing our rounds and inspections, we found that the outer rotor on the outer motor or the drive shaft severed the shaft from the seal bearing, and basically the inner bearing was holding the entire rotor in place, right? So quickly we shut down power, electricity, double check to make sure the motor itself had to see the things like that, did the basic troubleshooting. And what we noticed was there's a little small section of the shaft that was still on the existing bearing, housing, and running like a champ when we cut the pump off. So for whatever reason, it seems the shaft just severed at that, and it's almost a clean cut. If you look at the images, you should be able to see on one of the images there is a cut. It's really tight. We're sitting there, but once you pull it out, you can actually see the break in the shaft. Based on our assessment after speaking with everybody, we feel like that there was no damage to the motor. There's no stress on the bearing itself on the broken side, so there was no indication of that it was warped in any way or for whatever reason. We just don't have any reason to know if there was any history of vibration, things like that that could have caused it to be off. So at this point, we're feeling that it might have just been a weak shaft at this point, or
So my understanding then is the only thing that kept the thing from completely going out of balance and flying away is the fact that it was compressed together and the clearances were close enough that it just held itself in place.
Right.
With that inner bearing.
So that basically the way that thing fits in is about 3,000 pounds for a give or take. Very heavy device, very large.
Yeah.
So the fins on it are very, aluminum or whatever, but the shaft itself is a steel measure. This thing is big.
And which ditch was this?
That is Oxidage 3.
Is it repairable?
Well, so
at
gonna
first,
get...
we thought that was the first thing we looked at is, do we jump in and just replace this rotor because we need it, right?
Yeah.
It is the only thing that provides our oxygen, our dissolved oxygen, which we have to keep the bugs alive, right? If we don't have that oxygen, we fail when we start busting compliance. So, however, we got the D-knife right there about to come on with the new rotors and things like that. It's not cost effective for us to say, hey, we need a brand new rotor when we're just going to tear these off. So the first assessment was, can we make a rotor for plant one? We could just cart that across the highway, set it in place, buy us a few months, 6 months, 9 months until the next
Welcome to the meeting. Please enter your conference code followed by the pound or hash.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
And Anderson had a contractor that was able to actually build a new shed. When we pulled the rotor out, we were able to actually bolt off or unbolt the fin housing, save the fins, and pull the shaft out separately, so it was not one big unit, which what we thought was the case. And in that case, if we'd have bought a whole new rotor, you're talking a lot of time and a lot of money. So in that case, we pulled the shaft out and we were able to find the contractor.
So it ended up being modular, and we didn't know that. So you were able to pull it apart, replace the so have we done that?
So Anderson has that. The new shaft has been built. Then we ordered the inner and outer new pillar blocks and bearings just to be on the safe side, because even though we feel like the inner bearing wasn't holding any stress, running just fine, we know the inner bearing is holding the entire weight of that and places it. I'm probably not going to come off with that.
How big is that? How big around is that bearing?
We're talking probably 2 inches.
Okay.
About
yeah. Is it a roller bearing?
Yes.
Okay.
Housing and all. So.
Sure.
However, the condition of those rotors, aids, and things like that, they are in the mess. They are stirring it. There's not a clean way about keeping the bearing. It's not just designing those systems to make sure that they are comfortable.
Right.
So we do everything we can to keep the PM by keeping the grease, keep the wall. And that was my first thing as kind of a pretty stern supervisor or manager. I'm on my guys when my job let this happen. And when clearly they said, fine, exactly. So,
how long was it down for?
So, we called it immediately. We did it daily around, so we called it that day. Literally, our engineer had just walked by doing the inspection, and he just walked by and looked at it and it was running fine. So literally within a matter of probably a few minutes, he had time to walk from Option 3 to the new Option 4, and it happened. So that's about how fast we were out there to catch it and say, all right, what have we fixed this?
Is it a sealed bearing?
The bearing is.
It's got to be, otherwise it would be getting all that gunk in it all the time, right?
It, on the shaft, sometimes it does. We do have a protective barrier around the entire rotor to try to stop it.
Because otherwise, how'd you keep it lubricated?
You will right. Now be
okay, so after joining the call, to record the conference for those who may. My only concern, and I think I expressed this to you in a conversation we had a couple weeks ago, is that this is our newest ox ditch that we're having the most trouble with. And I think that we need to just be aware of that.
That was a concern of ours.
I mean, if there was a rotor that was going to break, I'd say it would be out of 1 and 2. It doesn't make sense unless there was a defect in the casting of the metal originally, and it just lasted this long, or whatever caused that thing to snap like that. But it's just an observation.
No, and a very clear one. It's like going out and buying a newer vehicle, and then the newer vehicle starts giving you all the mechanics problems. It's exactly right. In my short time here, personally, I've seen that ox ditch have 2 rotor failures. Matter of fact, we had a motor failure about the same week, and we were able to replace the motor. So, and I was sitting there going, all right, what's going on with ox ditch 3?
How old are those? Sorry for my interruption. And I'm just trying to understand. How old are they? Is there anything we can look at to see
I'd say it's between 6 and 8 years.
Yeah, so out of warranty stuff or whatever.
So when I started digging into that very question to figure out what was different about Oxus 3 rotors and 2, things like that, immediately I did get it with the experienced guys that had been here longer than me sitting all we have had problems with Oxus 2. And they have replaced rotors with Oxus 2. It just seems that we have, here lately, we've had more problems just with 3. However, I'm still with you. To me, we probably have more warrant for ox ditch 2 because it's older, things like that. Why is 3 such a problem? I wasn't able to find a matter that really points to one material being different than the other or one rotor. Essentially, we can take a rotor from ox ditch 2 and install it on ox ditch 3.
Because they were made uniform.
So it's very hard for me to see, other than, hey, it's newer, what really is the problem there. Operationally, they both do exactly the same thing. The whole entire system, 2 and 3, are run pretty heavily because the rotors, and this is one of the things that's coming in D-9, is bigger rotors. Maybe so that we don't have to run them as stressful, things like that. So some of that could have been the case. But that may be a question.
Yeah, so it's kind of moot at this point because by March of 2022, we're going to have new rotors in all the ox ditches?
So right now the plan is to get ox ditch 4 online with the new rotors, of course, and then go into ox ditch 2 or 3, whichever one we pick first. That one upgraded and cleaned. And then essentially we'll have
my fault.
2 ox ditches online with the new rotors. And so that should be... not looking at the schedule, that should be...
That's in the CPI, replacement of the rotors?
Probably end of 2022-ish, and then by the time of 2023, we should be getting in to get the last...
Do we know what the cost... do we have an estimate from Anderson getting that... I imagine that there are sub on this at this point to get that shaft replaced and installed?
I don't personally, or I don't at this time, have that dollar amount yet. I don't know. If
anybody have it?
I know it was substantially, it was actually cheaper than us going across and delivering the rotors from one to...
We talked...
$7,500 plus.
Oh, that's right. You did give me a rough thing. So, it has to... We don't have a choice, and it's awesome that they were already on site, and this can be taken care of quickly, and it's probably averted an emergency situation. Not a disaster, but an emergency situation. We probably have averted at this point. So, and all being said and done, it was handled very well. So, thank you for that.
And that's exactly right. It is our DO, and that was our biggest concern because when it happened, I say 2 weeks ago or so, we were still in a little bit hotter weather, and we were literally losing our DO quickly. I even addressed the staff immediately saying we may or may not make it. We may lose compliance because we cannot get enough oxygen, and that was our push.
Is there a completion date projected?
Yes. The new shaft is in, or it's been received, and the bearings have been received. Anderson is trying to see if they can either get it installed Friday or first thing Monday morning, just to make sure, because we have to shut down the ox ditch so they can do the work. So.
Well done. These things happen, and I can't see any really. I don't see any flaw in decision making in certain situations. So thank you for handling it in that way.
And we stayed in compliance the whole time. It sounds
yes,
like.
Yes.
Great job. That's amazing.
Keeping the bugs alive long enough to keep them going.
We are, and when we're back here by our young brothers, it took us a while to get some young bugs.
So speaking about,
we're going to get upset if we kill brand new bugs.
So speaking of bugs in the sludge,
right.
Move on to the next subject.
Okay. Topic 2. Well, that's a little bit of bugs. So that is pond. Okay. So part 1.
Explain that pond and its uniqueness in compared to the other two ponds, because I have forgotten and I don't.
It would probably be good.
Yeah, so the, you know, really going to ask about the water mine, about the wastewater solution.
So,
where does it fit in the pumping sequence, though?
So essentially, the digest pond is pretty much our final stage before belt press, right? So
ox ditch.
That is trying to get the solids to a point where we can get the belt press, get the solids out. So what was happening, imagine before that little digest pond in the photos, if you look at there, we've got the two larger lagoons.
Yeah.
All right, that's mostly a lot better clear water.
Right.
More clear water, a lot less sludge, and then you've got the little digest pond with the pumps and the rotors that are splashing when you go back there. Okay, previously they didn't have that. They used to send the solids to what's now what we're calling the lagoons, right? Much larger. It just used to dump in there at a lot larger capacity, and they would dredge it out, right? Problem with that is that's a little bit of a permanent problem. We're not supposed to just be dumping sludge. You're supposed to do something with the sludge. That brought on...
When you say used to, in what time frame are you...
So, that would be a great...
Hey, Sam, shut up.
Before they built that
Okay, so as long as I've been on the board, there's been three ponds. There's been the digester and the two lagoons. So it was prior to me.
Right.
Okay, fine.
So in history, you know, that's what they used.
I just want to make sure I didn't miss something. Okay.
So and when they brought on the little digest pond, that is when they brought on the belt press option, right? It's to speed up that Mother Nature and do something with the solids, get the solids out, because eventually the ponds will fill up solids away, the overflow. We, you know, wastewater is coming in with liquids and solids. If we don't keep up, we overflow. Right? That's essentially the way it works. So a lot of effort and a lot of wastewater plants is put on the liquid side and not so much on the solid side. So you kind of get some neglected or can get neglected until, oh, it's a big problem. So the pond was put in to help speed up that process, get that to belt press. We forcefully dry that faster and get the solids out of your fat, you know, and dry it up out of the ponds, basically giving your capacity back.
So I got to, so it comes out of the ox ditch, does it go into the lagoon or into
so
the?
So it comes out, so you got the ox ditch, this is going to the three, there's a little separator box that goes into the clarifier.
Okay.
The solids are settling out in the clarifier.
Right.
The bottom, the liquid is just barely
trickling over the top.
Top of the weirs, right? The solids at the bottom of the clarifier is what's being pumped to the digest pond.
Is it pumped out of the bottom of the clarifier as a liquid solid?
As a sludge.
And then it goes into the digesting pond.
Correct.
And then it gets eaten.
And then, well, it gets stirred around a whole bunch.
And then it moves over to the lagoon?
Flash mix, so to speak, right? And then it's being pumped to the belt press, right?
What are those two lagoons used for?
The lagoons, one of them is pretty much for your supernate. It's how it's what we're using for the belt press. If you go look at one of them's almost always got a greenish tint to it. The other one's more of a clear color. The middle one is more of a clear. That's generally what they're using as a supernate. It's basically what helps the polymer and things like that to work off of the belt press. So a little bit two different designs or different usefulness, but we can change or alter either lagoon by changing the pumps or changing the valves. Right?
Right, just shutting things down. Okay.
The problem is the digest pond is the only thing that's physically plumbed to the belt press system. So I can't take the lagoon to the belt press. So that is pretty much a one-way stop. There it is, and then we have to do something about it.
I thought we had an automatic dredger or something that used to go through there. And,
correct.
Okay.
And that new item we are still waiting on from the manufacturer.
The dredger.
The dredger.
Yeah, we're waiting on ours.
Okay.
So like,
moving on.
So the erosion, the problem with that is that's a very little pond. It's not the line.com.
Absolutely.
Things like that. The water level itself and the turbulence of those pumps over so many years has
Sam, no.
Our first problem to notice was the safety issue, because what happened was the erosion started happening around one of the exterior light poles, and to where it was washing out the bottom of the light pole, and we were worried either A, that light pole was going to fall upon, it's going to be electrical short out probably.
Is that the yellow base one?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It has a big, I don't know, probably 40-foot tall elevator light on there.
Yeah, you can see it over by the pump house there.
Or it would have fell the other way and could have hit somebody, because a truck could have hit the chemical building right next to it.
Exactly.
So that was our immediate concern, and there's high voltage in three of those boxes right there on the water that used to be on the bank, are now in literally on the water. So that was the immediate.
Is that how far the bank is recessed?
And in that one area, or predominantly that one area. So the question was, okay, we got to get the light out, which we had removed and set aside. And then it was, okay, how bad is this erosion? How long can we buy time until we can really drain this and see what's the extent of the damage? We are in the middle of that phase now. The light pole has been removed. We have completely drained everything we can belt press out of the digest pond. And we are, I would say, roughly about maybe 6 feet down in it, but there's still a lot of solids we're going to have to manually pump out into the lagoon to try to get it dry enough where we can really assess the bottom of the pond.
So you're saying what we're looking at here at the bottom of this lagoon, you're still going to have to dredge down?
Yeah, we're going to use a couple of trash pumps, things like that, to try to just pump the rest.
Is that kind of sludge or is that solid?
On the edges where it started drying already, it's a little crusty, but if it's in the center, it's still holding water. So it is, if you knock the top off of it, put a hose in it, things like that.
Okay.
Still
it's only crusty on top because of the heat. Okay.
So you need to dredge down.
Right. So
further to prevent erosion or like kind of build up the sides.
At this point,
we're
doing it just to see how deep the erosion problem's going, because it's hard to look at what's sludge and what's ground.
Yeah.
You got to move the sludge back, and you got to be able to get equipment in there to fix the bank, and you can't do that with that sludge in there.
And we don't know if the bank is going like this.
Right.
Or if it's going like this,
right? Well,
because initially it went like this,
exactly.
But we don't know if it's undercut.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at it right now, even with all of the water out, the water level down, it's not even across the whole pond. There's several spots where it's almost eroded to the other roads, but it wasn't as bad as in this particular section.
Well, it looks like it's the worst all the way at the west end down there.
This is when the pond is full.
What's that? This picture's that pond is full right now that I'm looking at?
Yes.
How far down is it now?
No canal.
About 6 feet.
Now, sorry.
How much bank is showing now?
So
I'm looking at a couple of feet of bank right now. How much is showing?
Yeah, about 4 to 6, yeah.
So you drained quite a bit out of there.
And it just gets drained, the sludge gets taken out and dried, and then the drain goes into the lagoon?
Because we can't pump it anymore to the belt press now, because that belt press pipe is now above air.
Yeah.
Right? So we have to manually pump it into the lagoon right next to it, which is what we're doing with sludge now.
For storage?
For storage.
So is there any biological... Is the digesting pond... biologically sensitive?
The digest pond isn't in its current condition. It's not.
Would it ever be used as a biological? You don't worry about bugs and all that kind of stuff in the digest?
No.
Kind of sounds like it with the name of a digest pond. It almost makes it sound like something should be occurring,
Right, and that's the whole point of the pumps and the splash mixing and things like that, is just to get...
So really it's all just digesting it and sending it to the belt press?
It's pretty much just speeding up.
Okay. Sam! Come! Sorry, guys. Get over here! Come. You did it help, though. Sorry about that, guys. Down. Good. All right. So, great. Do you have any more questions, Ash?
So, this is just more knowledge. You're working on fixing it. Is it interrupting? It's clearly interrupting some of your processes, but not enough to cause any issues?
It's one of the unique times, like with some of this stuff, just bad news happened, right?
Yeah.
There's a couple of good things. We were actually facing a dump truck problem or a conveyor truck problem.
Correct.
And we really didn't want to have to jump into buying a whole new chassis for that, which works off the belt press. And we have had a hard time trying to find anybody that really wants to work on what we've got or replace what we've got. And I could not come to the office and say I need a truck for that. So we were trying to figure out what other options we have. This happens, and now I can't run the belt press. So that buys us some time to get through the winter, possibly the rainy months. And while we're trying to fix this pond, we've got some time to really look at what we really want to do with hauling the sludge off the belt press when we go back online with that. So it's not all a bad thing.
It's kind of a blessing in disguise. It gives you a little bit of time and to be strategic in what you're trying to do.
Right. So, there's some good and bad with this. I hate that the erosion is happening, because hopefully we can fix it easily. We don't know the extent of that yet. However, it's one of those things where, are we going to only fix the worst part of that levee? Is it going to be worth trying to fix the back half of it? Those kind of things still need to be discussed. And, so it may still be some good and some bad there.
Okay.
So who are you
who are you using to evaluate repairs for this?
For the, right now, we haven't gotten to that point because we don't know what we're still looking at. All right, what do we really have?
We're still in the investigative.
See what we have
training
before we reach out, because we reach out now, it's almost a shot in the dark. So there's somebody that's gonna say, sure, yeah, we'll come in and do that, and then we get it down the rest of the way and go, oops, we didn't know about this.
How much time do you expect it to take before you're gonna be able to have enough exposed to know what you're doing?
It depends on how fast we can get it to dry. If we've got decent weather, hot weather like we've had, or no rainy weather for at least the next month or so, if we can get as much of that pumped out as possible and it doesn't rain on us, it'll dry, and we can actually get down there and do something. If for whatever reason we get a bunch of wet weather, I don't think that'll be the case.
Are you just running temporary pumps over? You're just running temporary pumps over the berm?
Yeah. And the one thing about the lagoon is we do have the capacity to stand for a while.
Yeah.
Probably several months. But I'm one of them. I try to be worst case scenario.
Well, if all of a sudden we hit a rainy season, we're not in good shape.
That's right.
Okay. What other good news do you have for us, Anthony?
Y'all ready for number three?
Rains and pours, but we don't want it to rain right now.
And I will say that it wasn't funny, but all three of these two items here came about the same week.
It did.
I'm not kidding. So we did not plan that.
No.
discussion number two. So in the Dino project, we made a lot of stress and need for not only repairing the influent pump station, but also pump station W at Wastewater Plant 1. Those are very critical because that's an entire city's wastewater system coming into either Plant 1 or 2. And the condition of the pumps, piping, things like that, we had some vibration problems, some structural problems, and so we really needed that to be fixed before we dive into bringing all of Plant 2 and its glory online for D-Night and reworking headworks and things like that. That was very, very good. And so the town approved that they go into info pump station, repair the piping structure, as well as W. W exists because it was originally supposed to be a bypass headworks. If for whatever reason we needed a bypass headworks, we could maintenance that pump station and still have full flow. That was what it was originally designed for. Well, about a few years ago, apparently there was some work. They designed a gate to go into the main, the last manhole before you get to both of these pump stations at Plant 1. That gate, for whatever reason, failed. We now know in this inspection that it was corroded. The framing itself had corroded through. It was just leaking pipe. So for quite some time, they were not able to stop flow to either lift station W and infrared because of that. So it wasn't truly a bypass, right? We couldn't isolate it and really get back and inspect it like we should have been. This was a known issue that I decided the capital improvement project to get some work done on infrared and W. Anderson was tasked with that, and they go in with a shutdown. We drain W, we drain the manholes. They go down, and from what you can see above, when everything's running, especially water level up, there's some corrosion, but you can't see what's underwater. You can't see what's really down in there because that thing's almost 20 feet deep. When we got it drained and they got down there and inspected, hey, we're going to replace the piping, we're going to replace the pumps, things like that. They immediately saw the rebar on the inside of the concrete and things like that, visibly exposed, and that's generally about 5 to 6 inches of concrete, meaning that's missing. Heavy internal corrosion, H2S, hydrogen sulfide, and things like that, it causes it. And it was just worse than we expected. And so lining it was probably not the best way because you're essentially lining something that's already
not there.
It's not there. Exactly.
Right. stealth lining.
When the inspector looked at it, he said, yeah, this thing is not structurally sound for us to put our crew in to repair what was existing so that we can bypass it. And so...
So do you have to open a bigger hole, you shoring and that type of thing?
Well, and that's exactly right. So when you're trying to go down that deep, even if you go down 15 feet, that's a deep hole, there's not a lot of room there, and because of just the area there and the fact that we've got so many lines coming into that particular point, you don't have a lot of room to just expand and dig a big hole there. You've got a pond right next to you. You've got three influent lines coming in. You've got the plant head work, so it's plant one there, so you don't have a whole lot of room. The good thing is the pumps still work just fine. They did see the holes in the piping and things like that, which is what they were intended to work on. And we deemed that we could use the pumps to bypass the station with temporary hoses so that they can still keep on schedule and fixing the pump station.
Is there a manhole you can put those hoses into? It's
so
down line?
Not a manhole from W to the plant. There's a manhole before that.
Yeah.
But that's not going to help me. But in this case, we're going to actually physically plumb it from, temporarily plumb it from the pumps in W to the piping that the pump station was hard plumbed to, just to bypass it so that it can do the work on influent. And at that point, the town will need to be considering plans on what do we do with W station after that. And that's still in discussion as to what we want to do, because essentially it is a backup station to input. So that does give you a little cushion as to what you do with it in the future, but it opens up some possibilities.
Okay. So I'm extremely, so this is where you're in an awkward position, Anthony. Because we've had Veolia as our contractor for over 10 years. They came in, they bailed us out. We love you guys, we've had a great relationship, but somebody's not, didn't have their eye on the ball, because it shouldn't have got, you said in your testimony, Senator, that it wasn't maintained properly, or at least it wasn't inspected properly. So this is where I have a problem with Veolia as a company. And the people that they put in place there. Not, this isn't personal, this isn't about you, you weren't even around, we didn't know your name, but it pisses me off. Because it's not the first, it kind of falls in line with the erosion of the lagoon. That didn't erode overnight. Should have been observed, should have been seen. I'm probably being very simplistic and very, and talking in very layman's terms, but I'm a volunteer on the board of directors for the town, and so I don't have to be really smart. I just have to be pissed off that I've hired a contractor that is not doing their job. And that's where that's how I feel. Now, I don't know if I'm justified or not in feeling that way, but again, remember, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Veolia, who you happen to represent at this point. So these are issues that could be catastrophic. Or maybe this is how you find out that we have these issues. I'm going to give you that. That's possibly, you know, you don't find out you have a problem until you have a problem. And we don't have a problem that's causing us any emergency action. So you did inspect it. You did find it. I kind of feel it should have been done maybe earlier on in the process. And in the future, you don't want, we have to have better eye on the ball.
Are there, from these failures, are we taking a look at some safeguards to make sure we don't have additional failures in
that's
additional coming. Pump stations and stuff like that?
So
we aren't running into this?
That is exactly what happened. So I definitely understand what y'all are saying.
And the context in which it is being said.
I don't take personal offense to it. At the same time, the first thing I did was look at my people. I'm not the type of person to look at the town and go, why did the town let this happen? I'm looking at all my people, even though I'm the old and they may say, hey, whatever. I'm pretty harsh on my people, because I know I expect us to be better for any town or any client. Though I was not here, I am. And We do a manhole inspection. And that's the problem. It's not where you can just open hatch and go, man, I see that. Hey, that's the problem. Is you had to get down in there 20 foot and go, oh, wow. And that part is underwater. That part of it is at a level where there's pumps and things like that.
The problem's keeping you from finding the problem.
Exactly. And so even he said, yeah, we knew there was an issue there. We just didn't realize how bad it was. And so whatever that decision is, hey, whether Veolia helped make that decision, I don't know. But that was what we shared.
Okay, so we're here now. Tell me what this picture on the right is. Because that's just a big...
I'm not looking at a picture.
The picture you're looking at is inside the station W, and that is the rebar. You see the orange?
Oh.
Like 5 feet back.
Oh.
5 inches. Sorry. I heard...
Okay.
My measuring is not fabulous. But still, 5 inches. That's a lot of concrete.
This is this a picture of this?
A picture on the left. A picture on the left is the actual... piping that comes into lift station W, and it's mounted. It's supposed to be sealed in there, and you can see that the actual casing of that
is gone.
It's gone.
Right, and this is below that.
No, this is the corner where all the gas sits inside of lift station.
Okay.
W. So the wet all right. below, it's fine.
Interesting that I don't know if you were here, so it might have been. No, you were here 7 or 8 years ago. We rehabbed a bunch of stuff at the headworks over at Plant 1.
And they relined.
And they relined it.
They relined.
This exact piece we relined?
I believe so.
Yes.
I believe so.
Well, that was probably not the right repair to make.
That's why I say I'm not going to come to bat necessarily for Veolia or for either way and say one way or the other because I'm with you. It is our burden to bear.
Well, and I don't...
But that is probably the case.
How hard is this going to be to fix?
That depends on the options. The case with this is you do have options, right?
Yeah.
Because it is a bypass, if we don't have it tomorrow, it doesn't mean the system's going to fail. So we did catch it in the right time. To answer your other question is, because we didn't know really the condition, and even in the DNI plan, we're repairing this thing. It is in there. We were going down to pull the pumps, repair this piping, and put it online so we could fix it. So when we got down to this one, hey, wait, this is way more than we thought. All right, I want to know what else is like that. If this is like that, how bad is the rest of the line? So I immediately requested our maintenance team because we do, by contract, 25% of manhole inspections per year, okay? But in an effort, in my mind, and in previous minds, we can't hit every manhole in the city. But that doesn't mean you only do inspections on one main, because essentially you're leaving other mains, things like that, untouched or unseen. So immediately I said, all right, guys, let's not worry about the far ends of the system. Let's look at what's close to this, because we got a problem. So that's immediately what we did. We've done 21 manhole inspections from this manhole or the manhole above this one back. And we've
down Cherry Hills?
Cherry Hill.
Because at the same time as this was coated, we coated every one of those manholes all the way down
right.
Cherry Hills.
And that is what we're doing. I'm about to have that complete report ready to present. So we're trying to put the pictures.
I don't know if I want that report.
We'll see how
I don't.
Is it going to be a sad report?
It was the wrong process.
Like
we should have never sealed them that way.
It's
Virgil
it's
made a bad
really
decision.
Tell, but
that was all him.
That's my effort.
Anthony, why wouldn't we just buy a new vault or a new concrete vault and remove this and put a whole new...
That is an option. And the other option, and it's a good one, but it's more expensive, is your wastewater system does not have the ability to remove grit. And we were hesitant...
Grit filter.
In the D-Night project, we really wanted to look at, hey, we need a grit. But with W, with Inflamet, with all of that is gone in that tight, very deep location, we couldn't fit a grid right there. So it was just, it wasn't going to be cost effective. Well, now the whole station W is going to be repaired. So are you going to dig a 20-foot hole?
Do we have land's not an issue.
We own all that land, right?
Land is in most cases
influence. You're right. Very tight.
The way the piping runs and how to get it in and out of that grid chamber and back to the system. So it's not about having a bunch of
It's about plumbing.
Exactly. So now that brings up some options. So again, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's not like the influent fell apart and we're about to overflow.
This reminds me of why I haven't fixed the bathtub in my bathroom, because I have to replace the kitchen floor when I do it. Because once you start this project here, it continues all the way to the other side of the house.
It's like the cobweb, but it just
Ashley knows about this. She's just rebuilt her whole house.
Well, I'm not done. I still let's not talk about this.
So I appreciate this, but I would like I appreciate the fact that you are, this same process was used in 20-something manholes on Cherry Hills. I watched it happen. It's when I first got on the board. And if it's failing here.
It's probably failing somewhere.
So not before I've even brought a plan to leave in the staff, I'm already looking at what can we do about it, because even if we fix whatever we see in inspections, we've got to maintain or try to save the rest of the mains. And that's also in our studies to try to see what options we really have. So it's not just, hey, we've got some old mains that need to be repaired. We're really digging into this and saying, what's the best way? What's the best option?
I'm going to try to.
My ignorance.
No.
When you're doing the manhole inspections, are you worried about having the same issues with this? Because it sounds like with this, you did the inspection, you didn't. Like, you knew there was a problem, but you weren't able to see it because you had to go further down.
Well,
are we going to have same issues with inspections being done on the manholes?
Not necessarily. So the difference in this station and manhole inspection is a manhole inspection has a little bit more fluctuation of pressure and things like that, and we've got a camera system. We can run the camera into it and see things even through the line, and that's what they do. They weren't necessarily in the past. I don't know if their area of focus was another part of town, things like that, a place they haven't got to, because by contract we have to do 25% a year. So they do whatever section they do or whatever they were directed to do. In this case, we had a reason to go, hey, we got an extensive problem here. I need to know how bad that is. So I moved their focus to the key essential problem. In a manhole, we can see a little bit better. When they do an inspection, their inspection visual pictures, camera, they take odor samples, things like that, so it's very well in depth, and it's all documented in our CMMS program. With this lift station, and even our lift stations, the other 15 we have, are kind of done in the same manner. The only difference is we can stop the other lift stations and totally drain them at any will. The problem with this one is we couldn't do that because that gate or the valve, whatever was there, wouldn't work. Essentially leaking pipe. And so it stopped us from being able to drop that low enough to really look and see the structure. So
that's where the temporary pump comes into play.
Right.
Have you got that set up yet?
So they are working on that as we speak. I don't know exactly what stage they've got the tube on connecting the temporary pipe. That's on Anderson right now. Again, to save a lot of costs and mobilization and things like that. But they are ready.
Okay. Well, Mr. Cheerful.
It doesn't sound all horrible, though. Like,
no,
it peeled back.
The frustration
stuff
is good.
That could also,
I know the history of this.
Allow
That's the
us
frustration.
To make some better decisions than what we initially were going to do.
No, and this is truly
part of this was already
to make fun of situations like this, but this is the kind of stuff that happened.
Well, part of this we knew, and we included, like you said, in pricing in the D-night. The question is now is, do we throw a little more money at it and take care of a grit filter, properly plumb it, make sure we have gates where we need them, and then,
save downhill equipment.
And then figure out how to address any manhole issues we have under a different
item.
Yeah.
And you have my word. You all have my word. We out later that, hey, folks, we didn't know about these five that were a block away.
We can't have.
We're really digging to try to make sure we're really doing the right thing.
We can't just put Band-Aids. It's going to be more expensive.
Yeah, these things, again, I don't want whoever's sitting in these chairs 10 years from now to see that much deterioration that didn't happen overnight. I don't want them to see a side of a lagoon that is disappearing that didn't disappear overnight. That's not what this board wants to do. And that's not what you want to do. Should Gregory be here for these conversations?
There's something wrong with the phone number. And so Gregory wasn't able to call in, and neither was Jason Coleman of
Because, you know, I'm trying to be nice and not say too much about that. He and I will be having a discussion. Okay, are we good, Anthony? What's this last picture of keep available and available? That looks like plant one to me.
It is. Okay, so the top is approached.
Well, wait a minute. Are we moving to another discussion item?
Yes, we are. Discussion item number three.
Informational text blasts to residents. Okay. Oh, that's right. That was last meeting.
Yeah, this is a discussion regarding surplus property as well.
A discussion, the last item on the list. Go ahead. Thank you, Anthony.
All right.
Appreciate it. Next on the list.
So the town was approached by John Salamita of C.B. Richard Ellis, inquiring if we would be interested in selling a portion of unused land located at Wastewater Treatment Facility, otherwise known as Flat 1. We reached out to Aaron Goldberg, Wastewater Goldworthy. He worked with Gregory Harris, and they kind of identified portions of Plant 1 that they'd be willing to give up. So that's the picture.
Who wants this?
There is a seller that reached out to seeks to be Richard Ellis, and so that seller, I found out, was actually the person that owns the marina. They'd like to use it for extra storage for boats.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
They're wanting to purchase it.
They actually want to build a little market right there. Did you hear this? Yeah, I know that. I know Joe and Denise pretty well. Actually thinking about putting in kind of a dash type market there for boaters. So you could.
No, not right there.
In that, not there, but next to there.
I've seen the planes, so it's got to be on the property they already own. Well, I haven't seen the plans, but I've seen the proposals fly across regionals.
It may be in the area that where they're already on that road right there. It might be right there by the boat ramp.
Yes.
But at some point, that's part of also what they're doing. Oh, and that would explain it, because they need places to store all those trailers that are already stored there.
Yeah. So either but boat storage, trailer storage, RV storage, I'm not quite sure.
Who owns? So we own, in the picture, we own that area, and then the country club owns the area adjacent to this available parcel, correct?
Correct.
Who owns the property on the other side of the country club where our relay station is?
I believe we own where that is, just the small parcel, but
aren't there trailers parked there too?
The country club owns all of that. They rent out that section too.
Who owns it?
The country club, but they rent out.
They own the area, in essence, from available all the way to the street, in essence.
Correct.
Okay. I believe we own the road.
Yes.
It wasn't an issue when Hoffman owned everything.
Yeah.
So they're wanting to, they're looking at this, it looks like they're wanting to purchase and kind of, we're stuck in the middle of that.
That's the plans that Aaron came up with Gregory. These are the portions we would be willing to give up and keep the park in the middle, which is our offices and where the influent pump station and pump station W is. So
what happens if
all of the infrastructure goes right there through the center?
So we would give up our backup lagoon that we've been so careful about keeping for all these years.
We would keep half of it. We would still keep half of it.
I see that.
But so I guess my question is, if we give that up and let's look 10 years down the road and we need to do some infrastructure or build out, we no longer have the land to do that.
I can address this after all these years of fighting to keep plant one?
That's correct.
The bottom line is that we're not going to have separate structures anymore. Any additions to the plant will occur on the other side of the street at plant two, whether it be for the new 2,300 homes that are going over there, because we have 150 acres that we own. 47 acres.
Yeah, I think we
47 acres.
Right.
That's still a lot of property. Yes. That where plant two is, we own property behind it. We own like 47 acres back there. Is that right? Am I correct? So we have plenty of land. Land isn't a problem for us. If we had to build another wastewater plant, we have the land to do that. For a long time, I thought we have this asset we paid millions of dollars for. Why are we abandoning it? And I finally, it's taken 8 years for me to finally say, okay, abandon plant one.
Yeah. This is just a concept, right?
Right.
The board can choose to change this concept. But what we do need to keep is the middle portion right there.
Yeah, we can't get rid of that.
That's correct. What's up top is, at the top you see it kind of T's. That right there is a wastewater main line. Right now we could always write in a contract that we can do an easement. Where they can't, and on top of that easement, they can only put certain types of materials.
They couldn't build a structure. Or, they could put trailers where they can
right.
move them.
And
if
that
we
would
had
all
come.
Be part of our terms of sale. Right?
What are you talking about?
So you can see how the top green T's.
Oh, you're talking about this right here?
Yeah, so we could always kind of go up through here and go up through here. But there is a main line under there, so we wanted you to be aware of that. So
is there a main line?
That's the sewer coming into plant one. From both sides. One goes into Edwards and it continues on the east, on the west side.
Oh, does
the
it? It comes in from
side of our property, and it also comes in from Cherry Hills through the maintenance yard.
So you're telling me that there's a pipe that comes in, like where we used to do the trials for Berkeley, over there by that pond over there?
No, so if you're looking at the map, that part is all the
that
way
part's the tip
on the
of
lower
it.
Right.
Is there a pipe that comes in here?
Yeah, Berkeley is all down here.
Okay, but is there a pipe that comes in here? And runs under here?
There's a pipe that comes in from right here and it dumps into the W.
What about?
And then there's one that starts cutting in into Headworks. It comes in right through the road right here into Headworks. It doesn't come in through here where the wetlands is.
No, up here.
Yeah, it comes
in here.
Right there. Yep.
So, and that comes from over on my side of town.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
we either cut that out and not make it part of the proposal or...
Or you create an easement and that's part of the terms of...
Because, you know, if you cut it out and put a fence up, you've also limited your construction ability to bring tractors and stuff in. You know what I mean? If you ever had to dig it up, it's better probably to have an easement where you could just say, hey, you can't put anything permanent on top of it. Move your trailers out of the way. We got to dig this up, and now we have a big open piece of land. But we're in the weeds on that. We don't need to be there yet.
No, this is something we were thinking about. Would you like us to move forward and bring this to the board for a board discussion?
Well, from there, it would have to go to an appraiser and all that kind of stuff. Are they serious about this?
I think they are serious about this. Yes.
What's the cost involved with doing all of that?
Nothing to us.
It's just to them.
They cover all the costs.
We would probably want to get our own appraiser as well. But
yeah, I mean, yes. Minimal, but. Yeah. But just like the firehouse, remember we were $100,000 off on the firehouse, so we
but
want our own
they,
appraiser.
Is it zoned for what they want to use it for, or are they going to have to go through?
They might have to go through.
It'll have to be rezoned, but it'll be rezoned as a very, you know, like, I don't know, if it's not industrial, light industrial, very, very, very light industrial. Mm-hmm. And somehow in the contract it would say that any structures that were to be built on the project would have to be approved by the town or something like that. You know, so we would make sure that they wouldn't build in an area that was going to obstruct the area we have.
Right.
I would go ahead. We can make that a future agenda item for the board if you want.
Okay.
You
feel the same?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Because we can't really make any decision. I mean, but there's no. I mean, obviously, this is a stupid thing to say, but yeah.
Okay. All right.
That would be the end. Any future agenda items? Anthony, you want to put any place markers in for future agenda items? Are you okay for right now? Well, thank you all for your presentations. Thank you all for your frankness. And we got some work to do. So thanks, everybody. Meeting adjourned.